little baby girl. But again, happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. And Pastor Kim and Candace, thank you for having us. It's been an honor. And church family, thank you for letting us become part of what you do this weekend. This Father's Day weekend is a sweet routine. Man, I like that. Every week, just go to camp and get away with one another, play hard, worship hard, get into the Word hard, and then eat hard. It's all good. It's awesome. So, man, we're so honored. Jamie and I know she would say the same thing. We're so honored and thrilled to be part of the family this weekend. So if you got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. And before I read that, I want to just read a few things to you just to kind of tie everything we've been talking about these two evenings. And don't you love the Word of God? Man, isn't it amazing to you? Isn't it just life to you? And so this morning, we're gonna get into it, and we're going to have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do what He does best, is just minister life to people. So we'll be doing that right afterwards. But, you know, Friday night, we talked a lot about God has grapes, right? Everybody say it with me, God's got grapes. So you may have experienced some grapes, and you kind of be thinking, what on earth is He talking about? What are these grapes? We're talking about good things that He has in store for you. He's got great plans in your future. He's got awesome things. The same way that He had for the children of Israel before they walked into the promised land, God had great things in store for them. But where are the grapes? They are with who? The giants. But, you know, God never mentioned anything about the giants. What was He focusing on? The land that He had for them. Right? In the Israelites' eyes, they came onto the giants. They're like, God, what are we going to do? There's these huge giants. Obviously, in God's mind, they were no big deal. So He just said, possess the land, take it over, it belongs to you. So your promised land, yeah, it is also in the land of giants. So there'll be some things that you got to face. There will be some tough stuff that you got to go through. But listen, we're here to fight. We're not here just to kind of go, okay, you know, God, whatever you want me to have, I'll just have it. That is a wrong mentality. Just because God wants you to have something doesn't mean there's not a fight of faith. Doesn't mean that there's something you got to go after in order to possess it, right? So somebody say fight. We like fighting. So God's got grapes. The grapes are with the giants. In order to receive and enjoy what God has for me, I have to be willing to fight. And also Friday night we talked about humans create futures. That's what we do. That's who you and I are. Proverbs 4:23, it says, out of your heart flows the issues of life. So life doesn't just happen to you. You're actually creating it based on what's happening on the inside. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about this morning is deepening and building an inner life, a strong inner life. Last night we talked again a lot about in order to step into the will of God for our lives, we need to know who we are. Every attack from the enemy is an attack on my identity. It's what he's after. He's after that identity. So how do I build my identity on the Word? I have to go to my spiritual mirror, which is the Word of God, and believe the reflection that it gives me of myself. And then secondly, I need to meditate on these words or these scriptures that I see. Let them become my inner conversation before I actually start seeing it in manifestation. So meditation precedes living it out. Right? That's Psalm chapter 1. He says, man, I delight in your word. Your word, I started to eat it. I started looking on it, thinking on it, meditating on it. I am like a tree who is strong and rooted deep down. Right? So we got to think it. We got to have it real solid in our brain before we actually see it lived out. So in Colossians chapter 2, and what I want to talk about this morning is just deepening and building our inner life. In Colossians 2, verse 6 through 7, it says, now that you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Those words right there is the key to victory right there. To continue to follow Him. Notice the words, though, to follow Him. So who's in front? He is. So if we're playing the game follow the leader, who's going to be in front of this whole pack? It's Jesus. Right? A lot of times Christians want to be in front. Well, I want to get in front because I think I'm this is where I'm going. No. The key to victory is I'm following somebody. And this is Paul encouraging the Colossian church. He said, you must continue to follow Him. Right? Anybody accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? Yeah! That's the open door to victory. That's how it all begins. But after that, we must continue to follow Him, Paul says. And then he says, verse 7, let your roots, everybody say roots. Oh, say it like a real camper. Roots. Decent. Let your roots grow down where? Into Him. And let your lives be built on Him. Then what does it say? Then your faith will grow strong. A lot of times people are looking, I want strong faith. I want to be a strong faith guy. Well, in order to do that, what do I have to be? I have to get my roots growing down into Him and let my life be built on Him. It says, then my faith will grow strong in the truth that I have been taught, and I will overflow with thanksgiving. So where does it all begin? Roots. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is your roots. Because again, in order to get to that promise line, in order to see it and take over the promise that what God has for you as an individual, as a family, as a church, we have to be strong on the inside. See, a lot of times people are trying to fix things on the outside, and you know that's not really, it's not going to work. If there's certain areas in your life that you're not really excited about, and I wish I didn't have this trait, or I wish I wouldn't be so caught up in this all the time. A lot of times people are trying to cut off the fruits, but if you can dig out and get to the root of the issue, you'll forget about the fruit. Right? And that's what we want to talk about. So roots defined. When you hear the word root, this is what it means. It means to be established deeply and firmly. It means to be deeply embedded, therefore difficult to remove. Now, anybody ever go to the beach before? Anybody go to a beach that has massive waves? Sort of-ish. Yeah, okay. Not everyone. Well, there's a place, Jamie and I, we went to Hawaii for our honeymoon. It was glorious. And, you know, we went to this place called, in Maui, there's a big beach there called Big Beach. And part of the reason I think why it's called Big Beach is they got massive honking waves. And I remember, so my wonderful mother, she actually bought Jamie a book before we went on our honeymoon. So did I see my wife really? No, my girl, she can read books and she's a good book reader. And so all of a sudden, Jamie's out on the beach and kind of just, hey, Jamie, want to go play in the water? No, you go ahead, Joe. I'm going to go catch some rays, read my book. And so I'm kind of out there playing by myself in the water, like looking for somebody to play with me. Like, anybody want to play here at the big beach? But, you know, there's this one game that I kind of invented. It was just, I guess I'm calling it Stuck, or for what our message is, Roots. And, you know, when you got real wet sand, you can actually just, you know, twist and turn, trying to get your feet as deep as you possibly can in. Well, I got pretty far. I got a little bit just under my knees. I got deep, you know, rooted into the sand. And big beach waves. I don't know, everybody have been to Big Beach or Maui before? Anybody? No? Okay, one in the back. These waves, I mean, they took about 12 to 15 foot waves. I'm talking like, these are pretty good size waves. Well, all of a sudden, I'm getting rooted and grounded in this sand, not realizing there's a 12 foot wave coming. Oh, shoot. What do you do? Jamie, come. Oh, no, I'm good, honey. I'm reading my book. Everything. Just enjoy. If you want a husband, you're going to have to come and get me. So realizing, not seeing this massive wave coming, boom, and it just takes you out. But the reality is I was rooted. So according to my definition, I was deeply embedded, therefore difficult to remove. Ask me how my face felt after that. Man, I felt like I got punched. Bam, just taking all these things. So finally had to unroot myself and, okay, there we go. Man, I was bleeding. It's a pretty big, it hurts. Some of you don't believe me. Well, you go to Big Beach and you get rooted and you'll feel how that feels. It hurts. So it's all about your roots. Where are you deeply embedded? Where are you firmly planted so you're unmovable? Right? You know, for us, it is possible that we can live an unshakable life. According to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talked about anyone who hears these words of mine and does them, he is like a wise person, right? What happens when the storms come? He is stable, unshakable. But someone who hears his word and doesn't obey it, when the storms come, what happens? He's building his house upon sand, and great was that collapse, right? So it's all based, it's all so important where you and I, where we are building our life. So our roots is where you and I are building and firmly planting our living. So when you hear the word roots, when you hear the word, I want you to think inner life. So when I say roots, you say, when I say inner life, you say roots, inner life, inner life, inner life, roots. Oh, okay. Pastor Ryan. All right. He's just showing off. He's good. Okay. So when you hear that roots, it's inner life. So God is saying in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, said, let your roots grow down into Him. Your inner life. Let your inner life get rooted and firmly established in Him. What is He saying is allow the Word to shape your beliefs, to shape your attitudes, to shape your thinking, to shape your motives, because the Word of God is a spirit book. When you read the Word, what is it feeding? Your inner man. Right? So that's what he's saying, is that, man, what the Word wants to do, the Word literally wants to possess you. The Word wants to take over every area of your life, every thought that you have, every motive that you have, every attitude, it wants to take it over. Right? That's the will. That's the Word of God's will for you and my life. Aren't you thankful for that? It literally wants to brainwash you in the best possible way. Because when you start thinking like the Word, what happens? You get the Word's results. When you start doing the Word, what do you get? The Word's results. So I don't know about you, but every time I'm seeing the Word, basically we know the Word to be Jesus. When I see what Jesus thinks about something, I want to go, okay, that's how you think about it. I want to start thinking like it as well so I can get the same results he gets. Right? That's where it all comes from. Okay. So your roots, they deal with the unseen. Like just think of it for a tree. Do you see all the time? I mean, trees that are really established in ground. Do you see them all the time, the roots? No, so they deal with the unseen. Roots determine the life that you live and the fruit that you're producing. Roots will keep you stable in tough storms. Roots will determine the quality of life that you live. And reality, roots also determine if you are a blessing to others or not. Everything starts in the inner life. It all starts from the inside out. And that's the way Jesus designed this whole life, is to be lived from the inside out. And as we mentioned yesterday, what does religion try to do? It tries to change people from the outside in. Does it work that way? No, because God is a spirit. So where does God live? If you're a born-again Christian, where does he live? He lives on the inside. So he wants to work with you and in you from the inside out. So he's more interested in the root of you, not just the fruit. Because if he gets the root right, the fruit is automatic. People are trying to be better. People are trying to be gooder. I know that's not a word, I'm just saying it. They're trying to make all these, you know, behavior modifications, and it does not work. Why? Because it's all about the roots. All about the roots, okay? All right. So surface Christianity is not going to get the job done anymore. So the health of my inner life, my heart, is more important than my outside life. Okay, my inner life is more important than my outside life. And I got three reasons why I want to share with you this morning. Why? Number one is because what's in my heart will manifest itself in the outside world. What is in you right now is going to be coming out of you. Right? And as we know, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we read this a few times, where it says in the Living Bible, protect your heart because it influences everything else in your life. So whatever's going on in you, no matter what, it's going to come out of you. You can't hide it. Your heart will show off on you constantly. Right? You're seeing, it doesn't take much. You can see people by their actions and go, okay, that's what's going on the inside of them. Anybody ever meet, you know, somebody who kind of pretends to be nice and all of a sudden they're just angry all the time? They can cover it up for so long, but your heart will tell on you. Right? Okay. Number two, so number one is because what's in my heart will manifest in my outer life. Number two, God looks and works with the heart. I know this may sound simple, but this is vital. If we can understand that, does God care about external things? Yeah. But where does he look and where is he working? From the inside. So God looks and works with the heart. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, it says this, "The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inner parts of the belly." So what's he saying? That God is going to enlighten me. God is going to reveal things to me. God is going to work with me from the inside. The spirit man. Right? 1 Samuel chapter 16. Just turn there real quick. I want you to see this. First Samuel chapter 16. And I think you know this account. This is right after, you know, God was not interested in having Saul as king of Israel. And, you know, he's telling Samuel, "Samuel, stop whining. I have picked a new man, a man who's a man after my own heart. He will be the new king that's going to reign over Israel." And so Samuel goes and wants to go find this guy, who he is. And so let's pick it up here, actually, in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'You have mourned long enough for Saul. I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king.' But Samuel asked, 'How can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Take a heifer with you, the Lord replied, and say that you have come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which one of his sons to anoint for me. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. And when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. What's wrong? They asked. Did you come in peace? Yes, Samuel replied, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and for his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. When they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. Now I think, you know, Eliab could be looked like Pastor Cam. Handsome, ruggedly handsome, got a good 5 o'clock shadow beard going on. You know, got a good, you know, good hairdo. Got some good solid arms, good legs on him. Yeah, he looks at him and goes, oh yeah, that's got to be God's anointed. Look at this guy. He's tall. He's buff. He's got a nice tan going on. That's him. Right? What does God say to him in verse 7? The Lord replied to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. Woo! Those are powerful words. When God rejects somebody, man, that's it. Then the Lord does not see things the way that you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord, where is he looking? He's looking at the heart. That's where he's looking. If you know, you can just hold your place there. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to see those whose hearts are fully committed towards him. So again, what's God's eyes on? The heart. What is he looking right now across this whole world? What are his eyes looking towards? Hearts. Is he looking for what people are doing? He's looking at the heart. He's looking on the inside. You know, there's Jamie and I, we have a kid's Bible that we read to our children all the time. It's a really good kid's Bible. And, you know, in one of the stories, I want to just read you a little snippet of it. But this is what God was looking for when he was finding his disciples. It says, the men that Jesus was looking to join him on his mission, he wasn't looking for the brightest, those with a ton of money, those who have it all together. He was looking for those who really need him. That's the bottom line. So again, he's not looking at everything that's going on outside, but he's looking for a heart. That's where his eyes are on. And I mean, you may know this, but I want to remind you again, it's not just about surface activity, things that are going on out here. What's happening on the inside of you? That's what counts, right? Because again, number one is anything that's on the inside of my heart will eventually manifest on the outside. Number two, everywhere God looking, he is looking at the heart. And number three, building my private life will benefit me in this life and in the life to come. So I got to take care of my heart right now because it's going to bless me now on this earth, but it's also going to benefit me in the life which is to come. We got to be aware of that. Do you have an eternal mindset? You know, just kind of waking up, doing your kind of routine thing, maybe how your week looks. You wake up, you shower, you go to work. You know, you brush your teeth, you shower, you do all these types of things. You eat dinner, you go to bed, you play with the kids. It's just this routine over and over. But listen, we will not be doing that forever. We have to have this eternal mindset that how I live here as a believer is going to affect how I live there in heaven. What am I doing down here? So I want to make sure my inner life is right so that I can live properly up there. And this again is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. I'll read it to you from the Message Bible. It says, exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Isn't that good? It says, workouts in the gymnasium are useful. But a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. So that's what God's looking towards, is your heart. So my heart is whose responsibility? My responsibility. My heart is my responsibility. My heart is not my wife's responsibility. My heart is not God's responsibility. My heart is my responsibility. Proverbs chapter 25 and 28 says this in the Amplified. Whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Read that again. Whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Now think about it. You have locks on your doors. You have walls at your homes. Why? Why do you got walls on your house? To keep stuff out? But what else? Also to protect what's in, right? Your heart is just like that. It's like your home. You want to guard this thing. I mean, I have three kids at home. I lock the door at night, yeah, because I don't want some weirdo coming in there. I got to bust some caps. I don't want to be doing that. But at the same time, it's also guarding what I have on the inside so it doesn't go out. I got young kids. They can't just go run into the front street. Hey, yeah, yeah, this is great. I'm also guarding what I have on the inside. We have to take very seriously the command, guard your heart above all else. Why? Because out of it is flowing the issues of your life. Why am I angry all the time? It's not just other people making you angry. There's something going on the inside. Now, how do I know this? It's because I've had to do some, you know, heart searching for myself, right? There's a thing that used to really, really annoy me, and it's called, I don't know, it's a Dutch word, maybe smucking or smacking, you know, when people chew their food and they just can't close their mouth. What is wrong with you? Close your mouth when you eat. Anybody else have that little, you know, just, oh, yeah, oh, look at these hands. Bam, 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 bam. All right. I think we got to teach on something, Pastor Cam. All right. But I used to just, oh, like, what's wrong with you? Close your mouth when you chew your food. Right? And so I had to really find out, why does that bother me? Is it their problem that I'm bothered by the way they eat? Yes. No, it's not. The correct answer is, no, it's my issue. It's me. So I have to just really find out, why is that bothersome to me? And I mean, that's just a small little tweak that I had to shift. I'm okay with it now. But if you're not eating with your mouth closed, I will mention it to you. You should really chew with your mouth closed. If you want a girlfriend, you're going to have to shut your mouth. I mean, anybody else can witness. I mean, yeah, like, shut your face when you eat. Because I can't control anything external. I can only control what's going on inside of me. I have no control over anybody. And this has been a big shift for, especially more myself. Jamie got me this great parenting book. Not that she's saying you need to be a better parent, but we've been kind of doing this. Oh, yeah, she's, yeah, maybe. But she got me this great book. It's Loving Your Kids on Purpose. Is that what it is? Anybody ever read that one? It's fantastic. And one of the things really having these kids is realizing that I cannot and I'm not supposed to control my 4-year-old, my 2-year-old, and my 5-month. That's not my job, is to try to control them, but let them free. Does God try to control you or I? No. So the same way, what I'm realizing is there's been so many things that I'm trying to control externally, but it's not my job. Who am I the boss of? Myself, my own heart. I'm in control of my own heart. Whatever anybody else does out there is their issue. It's their problem. I'm in charge of me. So if somebody flips me off while I'm driving, it's not my job to go back and try to, you know, rip past them. My job is to control myself. Everybody say it with me, control yourself. I'm in charge of me. That feels good, doesn't it? Isn't that good? Husbands, you don't have to control your wives. You're not supposed to. Wives, you're not supposed to control your husbands. Parents, you're not supposed to control your kids. Who are we the boss of? Praise the Lord. Okay. So glad we're all on the same page on that one. Matthew 5:8 in the Message Bible. It says this, you are blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. Can I read that to you one more time? You are blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You can perceive Him. So roots are intentionally laid, as we read in Colossians chapter 2, 6 and 7. Are you aware of your roots? Are you seeing your belief system? What's going on in you? What's your attitudes like? May not like breakfast this morning, but who's in control of that attitude? You know, you can just switch it. My parents used to say this to me all the time. If I woke up kind of grumpy, Joel, dance until your attitude changes. I don't want to dance. Dance until your attitude changes. And then over time, yeah, it just starts, yeah, it changes. You can come to church real mopey and real, oh man, are we doing that song? Like, why is the worship team doing it like that? What's wrong with his microphone? And they have all these things. You know, you could actually just change your attitude. Did you know you could do that? It's possible. You can just change it. Instead of just kind of walking to church, oh, hi, nice to see you. Oh, yeah, don't touch me. Oh, hey. And instead, you could come in, I get to be here. Man, I'm so excited. How are you doing this morning? People go, you're crazy. Yeah, but I'm in control of me. I get to be here, right? So we should all just practice that. Everybody doing okay? Check your neighbor for a sec. Are they doing okay? Does there need to be any attitude shifts? Some people are like, don't look at me. I don't want to be touched. Don't want to be bothered. If there's some attitude shifts, you can easily change them. Okay. Now, how do I deepen and build my inner life? There's two ways. Two ways. Number one is listen carefully. So again, we're talking about how do I deepen and how do I build an inner life? Number one is I have to listen carefully. Again, if you're in Proverbs chapter 4, I want you just to turn there for a sec. I got two scriptures here. But Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, my child. Do you have that on the screen? Yeah. What does it say right after my child? Pay attention. Anybody ever say that to their kids? Pay attention. Here, eyes here, eyes here. Well, how much more? God's doing the same thing. Hey, yo, kids, pay attention. Pay attention. Pay close attention. You know, in my Bible, I actually have it very bigly circled, so I'm focusing in on this. God is trying to tell us something. Pay attention to what I say. Again, as we talked a little bit last night about your identity, pay attention to what I say. How come we are so quick to hear what everybody else has got to say, and we kind of go, last word is, okay, God, what did you want to say on this situation? Even if that, right? We're so busy focused on what people are saying externally. We're so concerned about what government is saying, what the premiers are saying, what the prime minister is saying. What is God saying? We need to go do that first. Listen carefully to my words. Verse 21, don't lose sight of them. Let them, say let. Now, what does that mean? That means there's a part of me that I have to allow it. I have to want God's word. I have to want His leadership. I have to want His lordship in my life. Let my words penetrate deep, where? Into your heart. For they, my words, bring life to those who find them. And what automatically comes with it? And healing to their whole body. Then he goes on to say, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Oh, and if you got the Passion Bible, oh, that's a good read right there. Mark chapter 4, 24. I'm not coveting it, but I just really wanted to win it, but I wasn't allowed to, so that's cool. I'm in control of me, not Pastor Fallon for, you know, not choosing me. I'm fine. Okay, I'm fine. I'm totally kidding. He said, well, you come back to church, you can buy one at full price. Great. Awesome. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus, he added this right after the parable of the sower. He said, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. Verse 25, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding. You're going to say more. More and more and more and more. How does more come? By listening. By listening. And this is the thing, I'm really starting to learn this, is I'm not just reading the word, I'm actually listening to the word. Right, because a lot of times, I'm going to just read through the Bible. No, don't read through it. Listen to it. Because the Word is talking. The Word has a voice. Right? Listen to my teaching and more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So here's the thing. How do you get more understanding of the Word of God? How do you get more understanding about the plan of God for your life? It comes by what? Listening. It comes by listening. If you want to be kind of ignorant about what God is doing, what do you have to do? Just not listen. That's kind of the default setting. If you choose not to listen, the bottom line is you just can stay ignorant. Anybody want to go in that category? No, thank you. Okay. You know, Jesus said this to all the book, in the book of Revelation, he talks to seven different churches. And Jesus said, there's two things that he said to every single church. And one of them was this. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He's saying. So what is Jesus really trying to get across? He needs a listening church. I mean, it's good that we worship. It's good that we praise. It's good that we pray. But included in all these things, what Jesus is really looking for, I need a listening church. Somebody who will listen to what I got to say. Because when we're hearing from Him, how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the Word. And that's not just this Bible, that's the Rhema Word of God. What has He spoken to you? See, a lot of people are trying to have faith, and they haven't heard from God. They're just trying to be, well, the Scripture says this, so I'm going to just run out and do that. Yeah, that's what God's Word says. But faith, it's not just saying faith just comes from this book. It says faith comes by hearing from this book, hearing the Rhema Word. When it comes alive in you, ah, that's where I believe. Okay, I can believe that. You have to hear from Him. And so that's what Jesus is looking for, is a hearing church. I know we really look, okay, we want the best worship. And all that's, it's so good and we need that. There's a huge part in all this, but we also got to be hearing. Okay? So again, how do I deepen and build my inner life? Number one is I got to listen carefully. Number two is I need to be praying in other tongues. Yeah, my daughter's amening me in the back. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 and 4 in the Passion Bible. The Passion Bible. It's on my phone. You're fine. It says this in verse 2. When someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says because he's not speaking to people. He's speaking to God. He is speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. Verse 4, it says this. The one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress. And let's just go to verse 14 just for fun. Paul said this, for if I am praying in a tongue, my spirit is engaged in prayer, but I have no clear understanding of what is being said. So what did God give us? So when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, woo, you are in. God puts you into the family. You've been rebirthed by God, and now you belong directly to Him. Now, there's a second experience that we're to have, and it's called being filled with the Spirit. And the reason God gave us this gift of speaking in tongues, it's for every Christian, is so that really what we have is we have spirit-to-spirit communication. Right? There needed to be a way that God could bypass our brains so we could talk to Him. Because our brains a lot of times get in the way. Right? So God needed a spirit-to-spirit link, and He did that with this gift called speaking in other tongues. Right? Jude verse 20. If you go to the book of Revelation and then just flip back one page and Jude is right there. Jude verse 20, it says, you beloved, I'm reading from the Amplified, build yourselves up. Say it with me, build yourselves up. It's kind of like going to the gym. Anybody go to the gym? Yeah, a few people in the back. Oh yeah, Mr. Gunn's in the back there. All right. You go to the gym, what are these guys going for? They're looking to get kind of swollen, right? To get these massive arms and stuff. And so they're doing all these kinds of workouts. Well, the same way we can build ourselves spiritually, right? People are real good exercising externally, but how do we build on the inside? He said this, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. He said, make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Man, isn't that awesome? You don't have to be ignorant anymore. This will solve a whole lot of problems, is people just actually spending time listening and praying in the Holy Spirit. You know this, why do I want to build my inner life or my spirit life? Is because the plan of God for my life is in the Spirit. That's where it is. God's plan, who He wants you to marry, the where you're supposed to live, the job that you have, the church He wants you part of. Where is all this? Where is this all going to take place? It is in the Spirit. So you're trying to figure it out with your brain. How come some of you may be frustrated? Like, how come I can't just, this isn't making sense. I can't find this. Because it's not there. Everybody just point at your brain for a sec. Or just, whatever you can. Just say, it's not there. The plan of God is not there. So stop trying to figure it out. It ain't here. Where is the plan of God? It's in the spirit realm, which resides on the inside of me. So how do I get this out? That's why Paul said praying in other tongues. What you're doing is you're praying divine mysteries. Things that you don't know naturally. Things you don't know in your brain. But your heart knows it. So when you start praying in other tongues, what is the Spirit of God? Before I do that, let's just read that actually. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 9, it says, this is what the scriptures say when it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But don't stop there. Verse 10 goes on to say, but God. Everybody say, but God. Nope. But it. Sorry, wrong word. But it was to us that God revealed these things. What? His plans. By His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Anybody gone swimming in a pool before? Know those little, like, you know, those, you know, kind of heavy weights that you kind of put in a little tube or something? You kind of just throw them in and they go right to the bottom? Well, this is kind of what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God goes and jumps into that deep end, and He gets all those amazing mysteries and those plans that He has for you. And while you're praying in tongues, as the Spirit of God jumps in there, He's kind of going and grabbing those weights, and He's going, here, here's another one. And He goes back in there. Yeah, here's another one. And He's bringing it to your remembrance, going, oh, yeah, I see it. Right? Can you see that? You can see the Holy Spirit just jumping in, because He takes all the mysteries, the deep secrets of God, and He plunges all in there and He starts swimming. As you're praying in other tongues, man, He starts going in there and He pulls out this weight and go, here, you need that. Oh, man, I see it. That's where it is. That's where it all resides. Okay? We'll continue on. Verse 11. It says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Basically, what that's saying is, you have no idea what I'm thinking of right now, do you? No, you can't. Why? Because you are not in me, and I'm not in you. It can't. But it says, verse 12, and we have received God's Spirit. So the same way that you can't understand my thinking, well, listen, I can't understand God's thinking unless I have His Spirit in me. Then I can, because my spirit is thinking things that you don't have any idea what I'm thinking about. But here's the cool thing, is that God has actually gave us His Spirit. So we can know what? All the things that He's thinking. All the things that He has, as we'll read on. So we can know and the wonderful things that God has freely given us. And at the end of verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. It's there. We can know exactly what God is thinking. Why? Because His Spirit is on the inside of you. That's there. The same way, if Pastor Cam's spirit came into me, I would be able to go, oh, I know what Cam's thinking right now. And he could be way down over there. He could be, you know, in Swan River. And I could be in Red Deer. And I would just know what he's thinking because His Spirit's in me. But it doesn't work that way. Well, the same way that God now has put Himself in me, I can know exactly what He's thinking. Why? Because His Spirit is in me. Isn't that awesome? So listen, he's not trying to keep things away from us. So the plans that He has for you, guess who knows it all? The Holy Spirit. He knows the whole thing. And He wants to bring it to our attention. He wants to bring it to us so that we can actually clearly see it. And He gave us this gift of speaking in other tongues. And every time that we do, listen, we're not just, you know, we don't just turn God on. God is always on. When we start engaging our spirits and praying in other tongues, what we're doing is we're turning ourselves on to what God's already doing. Oh, isn't that amazing? Now, Ephesians chapter 5, this will be my last scripture. Ephesians 5. Look at verse 15. We there? Man, you're quick back there, man. You're quick. It says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's actually read this now from verse 21, and let's read it kind of back up to verse 15, and it'll make sense to you. So, give thanks to God for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. This is how you, instead, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And when I'm doing these types of things, I won't be acting thoughtlessly, but I will be understanding what the Lord wants me to do. You can actually just read that backwards and kind of see, okay, well, how do I not act thoughtlessly? How do I understand what the Lord wants me to do? I got to be filled with the Spirit. How do I get filled with the Spirit? Giving thanks to the Lord. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in my own heart to the Lord. What am I doing? I'm filling myself up with Him. And as a result, I won't be ignorant. I won't act thoughtlessly, but I'll understand what the Lord wants me to do. So a lot of times people are asking, I'm just, you know, okay, God, what do you have in plan for me? What do you want for my life? What's this all in store? Meanwhile, they're missing the whole commandment of being filled with the Spirit. If you would just stay filled with the Spirit, you'll just know your next step. And this is one thing that I wanted to kind of leave as I was praying late last night about this. But even though God gives you a picture of what you'll be doing, it's carried out in steps. Because this has been a thing for me, is that I've seen pictures, I've seen things that the Lord has called me to do as I'm praying in other tongues. But for a while, I used to get frustrated because I would see that, but that wouldn't actually be what I'm currently in right now. And I get frustrated by that. And the Lord, over having a few different people speak into my life, have to keep reminding me, no, it's steps. It's steps. So what does the Lord want me to do right now? Okay, I'm pastoring this church. Bam, here's my step. Okay, this is my next step. And then my next step. How do I know my next step? By praying in other tongues. That's the only way. It's the only way. And God gave it to us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? That we're not left high and dry just to try to figure this life out. He gave us the Holy Spirit and said, here, here's your life. Here's the plan that I have for you. Go live it out. Isn't that good news? Awesome. So what we're going to do this morning is we are going to just allow the Spirit of God just to freely move for a sec. If you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit before and you'd like to do that, if you've never spoke with other tongues, listen, today's your day. How many tongue talkers do we got in this house? Okay. A little late on that, Christian, but we'll get there. We'll get there. So anybody here that would like to get filled with the Spirit, this is a great place to do it. But why better than a camp to do it? Anybody that would like to do that this morning that has never done it before? Don't have to be shy. Don't be embarrassed. That this is the greatest thing that you could possibly ever have in your life. Other than accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the gift for all of God's children, is to be filled with the Spirit. Anybody here want to do that this morning? Anybody kind of hitting a rut, or they just need to stir it up a little bit this morning? All right, they've got one there. Anybody else? Not quite sure yet. Okay, let's all just stand up for a moment. So let's just take some time. And if you do, if you're feeling a little bit stuck with it, just kind of going, we're going to just believe God just for a flow. Right? It says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's supposed to flow. So what we'll do is we'll just pray with you. If you would like to, you know, kind of get a little kickstart, a little booster cable, a little zap. We'll just kind of get that thing flowing a little bit. Just coming up here, we'll pray with you. But this is a gift that God has for you and I. We don't have to be ignorant anymore. Aren't you thankful? That spouse that God has for you, not some kind of mystery thing. He's available to know. How? Through the Spirit of God. So if that's you, just coming up for a quick sec, we'll pray. And then if those of you that are just doing it, let's just raise our hands to the Lord. Let's just start praying in other tongues for a moment. Come on, you just lift your voice to Him. Masole branaste sekede. We stir up the gift of God. Come on, you stir it up on the inside of you. It's there. It's residing in you. Masole branaste shele badosteke. Lipotosta. Esetele bronoste shete ista sekede. Masele broto shere idia ramonoto. Oh, selelebastekereke, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Rise up like an edifice, higher and higher. Masole badekijiti de estoko. Zele manaste se ke de ide barosta. Zele italebosta sole badekiri. Eta la manosta sokoroba. Oh, thank you, Lord. You give us strength. Masele brasto se tekereka. Isoto gele, ma bratoste jete akiziti, gele manoste sole e bate sekere, idale le bodo barete, gita le bratoste so kere de ste, gita le manoste sole bade kiri da la bodoko, le baraste sere de ste. Oh, come on, you lift your voice, stir it up, you lift that voice up. Masele le basto, the Spirit of God's at work right now, He's bringing things to you. Mare badoste sekere. Gili bratosta sokoroba. Oh, He said He would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. upon every child, every adult. Just want to make sure any kids that you guys haven't done that yet. All the kids have done that. Lebrosto sekijide edesto soloba. Oh, stir it up. Masole brateste. He's giving you wisdom for your family. Matesele ebroto shetekede. Itale manoste sale bradoko. Zele isere mono barede fretekede. Je talebodosto sole badekidi. Zole manaste sale baradoko roba. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for joy. Joy, joy, joy. Oh, we just speak that and declare that over every home represented. Joy in the family. Joy in the home. Joy in the marriage. Joy in the families. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you. You know, you can praise Him in other tongues. You can worship Him in other tongues. Just go and just do that for a moment. Just worship Him in other tongues for a bit. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. There's no one like you, Jesus. Itale brotoste jere di manosto sole badekere. Hidi aranosto zele bratoko. Zidi aranaste jele botoko. We worship you, Lord. We magnify you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, be bold in this. Be bold in this. Time to rekindle, fan those flames again. That passion that you once had a while ago, stir it back up. Stir it back up. He hasn't left you. He hasn't departed from you. But as you draw near, He will come near to you. So stir up the gift of God on the inside of you. Fan into flames the gift, the grace that He's put on the inside of you. How do I do that? You do that by praying in other tongues. You do it by praying in other tongues. There's a plan of God that's hidden for this community. And it's reserved for those who will spend the time praying in other tongues. There's a plan to reach communities. There's a plan to reach people groups. There's a plan to reach businesses. And it's not hidden from you, it's hidden for you. But you're going to have to press in, and you do that by praying in other tongues. And I just see it on the inside of me, a whole, for lack of a better word, revival breaking forth because of the Jesus that people will see in you as you press in. So now is the time to press in. Now is the time to go forward, not draw back. But perceive and go forward in the things that God has already laid out for you. And how do you discover that? How do you find those things? It's by praying in other tongues. The Spirit of God is active in His church. God wants His church back. God wants His church back. And I don't just mean a building. I'm talking about people. God wants you back. You belong to Him. And speaking and praying in other tongues separates you for that call. It separates you to be involved in what He's doing. So go ahead and you lift your voice and you pray in other tongues. You draw near, you seek Him out, and He'll show you things that have not yet been revealed. Thank you, Lord, for Solid Rock Church. Father, we speak a blessing over it, over the families, over the people, the congregation, over Pastors Cam and Candace. Lord, that they're hungry to see Your will be done in this community. So, Father, we thank You for Swan. We thank You for the people that are in it, the community that's around it. We lift them up to You. Can we just pray for it for a moment? Let's just pray over Swan just for a moment. Oh, Father, we thank You for the leaders, the community leaders, the mayor. Father, we lift them up to You. We ask that you give them wisdom. We thank you for the pastors that are involved, actively involved in that community. Thank you for every born-again person that is involved in living in that community. We lift them up to you, sir. And Father, we ask you that you would give unto them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the deep and intimate knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened and that they would know the hope of their calling and how rich and how glorious is your inheritance that you've invested in them. And what is the exceeding greatness of your power to and for them because we are believers. Church, rise up. It's your community. It's your town. It's your businesses. It's your city. Take ownership of it. We pray. We give our best there. We intercede on behalf of it. Melebostoka, in all the little towns that are outside of it. Father, your will be done on heaven as it is in heaven, so be it down here. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, your word going forth. We thank you for witty ideas. Ideas to reach people. Thoughts to reach people. Not just in the church setting, but in businesses. Those that also have farms. Father, we thank you for witty ideas to reach people. And we give you praise for it. Oh yeah, Lord, we see a community with their hands raised to you. We see a community lifting up the name of Jesus in unity, together as one. Father, we see a nation under you. God, keep our land glorious and free. Father, we thank you for Prime Minister Trudeau. Lord, we bless him. We speak highly of him. We lift him up, Father. We ask you that you would surround him with wise, godly counsel. Church, rise up. It's not time to be bashing government. It's not time to be bashing those in political leadership. It's not time to be bashing those that are in spiritual leadership. Church, we got to come up and rise up. We're not limited to what people, the decisions that they make on this natural level. Well, who makes the calls for us? It's what Jesus has already said. We're seated with him in heavenly places, and we rule and reign from that place. Thank you, Lord. We speak blessings over the pastors in that community as well. Thank you for wisdom and utterance in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Oh, God's good. Amen. Awesome. So I give it over to you, Pastor. Well, again, thank you so much, everyone, for having us in. It was an honor to be with you, get to meet a lot of the church family. We had the privilege of meeting a few, but to see the whole family, thank you for having us. It was an honor to be with you. So,
oh, sorry, Pastor.
Set ourselves apart for you and for your kingdom. We thank you, Father, for that which you've spoken deep into our hearts this afternoon. We pray, God, that grace would flow upon us, that the things that we hear in the congregation, we will now take into the closet. Father, that we will fight for that which you have laid before us, that which you have called us to, that you have set, that for which you have set us apart. Father, we pray the blessing of the Holy Spirit now upon you. And keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being a part of fellowship together. Enjoy lunch. I don't know, church choir singing.